comic.
No, they specifically said Red Room.
Yes, okay. I thought they had. But I know they were... the last arc of the Black Widow was all about freaking Red Room.
Oh, yeah.
It was hard.
She did some rotten things.
Whoa, dude.
It's been a few months, so I guess I don't feel bad about talking about it. But, she killed an innocent
everybody.
Couple, her childhood friend and her lover.
Yeah. And, like, the family she said she was going to take and protect. And
yeah, killed them in public, yeah.
Yeah. And it was a weird sort of...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
She could make a good, interesting movie. She could be an anti-hero. Yeah. There's so many ways they can go with that.
I completely agree. I just would... I would rather they do it in the present and not in the past.
Like her doing her own thing. Well, it's weird with S.H.I.E.L.D. not being there now. It's a hard, difficult context now.
That's exactly why she would be doing
it. Oh, I see.
She's rudderless and adrift.
You know, maybe they set up something with her and Nick Fury trying to...
Yeah.
Yeah, do something.
Although
yeah,
she seems to be, like, the head of Avengers boot camp also.
Yeah, she's that in... You know, she was in front of Congress with cameras and stuff. It's hard to be a secret agent when everybody knows who you are and what you look like, you know?
Well, they
but
put
in the
it
comic,
on...
she was awesome.
No, see, they put it on C-SPAN, so nobody
No one would watch it.
She's more anonymous now than she's ever been before.
Hey, I watch C-SPAN, so...
You fool.
Sometimes.
Yeah. C-SPAN is actually done in a frequency that wipes your brain.
Oh, really?
It's government. Like, it's secretly a neuralizer.
It's like they live, yeah. I have my glasses. I put my sunglasses on, watch C-SPAN, watch the demons talking. And yeah.
But Black Widow, at the comic, like the last days of Black Widow,
yeah,
leading into Secret Wars, I thought it was a weird story to tell. I guess they were contrasting her
really
being the sacrificial hero.
It really had nothing to do with Secret Wars. Like, it picked up at that in where issue one had put the character with, like, trying to get
pick up the smart people.
Yeah, trying to get people, like, the last remaining
the
people they need to restart society or whatever to safety.
Yeah,
you know, trying to do good work, and then we got to see.
In the face of utter doom and destruction.
Yeah, why she feels the need for redemption.
Yeah. Which was good, I guess. The story was great.
It's a Secret Wars tie-in. Yeah, kind of. It's off. But, like, it was a good story for that run. It was a good one for them to end
on. But, you know, I didn't read any of the Last Days stuff except hers. Did you read, like, the Miss Marvel Last Days?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Well, I'm reading the last issue I think's out right now. Last issue's right now. I haven't read it yet.
Can we talk about how Marvel is screwing up the order of everything they do?
Well, I love Ms. Marvel anyway, so of course I'm still reading it. But,
So does it matter?
But, okay, that's a good point.
Does it matter what order the books come out?
That's a good segue in that we're talking about now. They have already started the post-Secret Wars book, and we still have three more issues of Secret Wars to get through.
Yeah,
and odds are that is going to be... the rest of the year.
Yeah. At least the rest of the year.
Well, already there's supposed to be four Iron Man books to come out before Secret Wars is even over.
Secret Wars, if they're on schedule now,
that's if they're on schedule.
December.
Yeah, and odds are it's very unlikely that they are on schedule considering they added a book in the middle of everything.
Well, 8 I think should be out sometime in November, and then 9
rather
the one they're
than
adding.
Hopefully finish
in
Secret
December,
Wars.
Probably January, though, honestly.
What were you saying, Larry?
I'd rather them finish Secret Wars and just stop, then actually hit issues on time for a while.
I don't care about on time, because Marvel has enough issues where you're going to get something to read. My problem is, almost feels like Marvel's we made all of our books Secret Wars tie-ins, now anybody who drops Secret Wars is reading nothing from us for the next 6 months. We need to do something. And it's like, all right, we're going to jump into the future and just start throwing these books.
That's possible. It's also possible that they felt the need to expand the story a little bit. Maybe they are doing it for narrative reasons.
Oh, totally agree.
Still
would have been at least one issue left with these five number ones coming out.
I think part of it was New York Comic Con. They had to have something to talk about, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
Just vaguely comic related, other than the movies. You know, I mean, and so
and there really wasn't anything to talk about the movies. Just announcements, no meat on the bone.
Is that where they announced the new Ant-Man and the Wasp movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. During some panel.
You said three more movies.
And three other movies.
They didn't announce a title. They just announced dates. And then they moved around. They shuffled around Inhumans and Black Panther, I think, and Captain Marvel. They shuffled those around.
They bumped back Captain Marvel to make room for the Ant-Man sequel.
Yeah. Now, my guess is one of those is a Spider-Man.
Probably.
I mean, one of them is a new Avengers.
There's already a Spider-Man.
A Spider-Man 2 or some sequel thereof.
Oh, okay.
And one of them is a new Avengers.
They're probably anticipating Spider-Man being a huge cash cow. So
It's going to be gigantic. I've heard Infinity Wars 1 and 2 has a combined budget of $1 billion.
Gracious man.
Which means they could do anything. They could get anything they want for that. $1 billion, you can do anything for $1 billion.
Yeah.
Anything.
They could go.
Unless you're the government. Then you can do nothing.
I guess they could go shoot in space for the space scenes.
Literally, they could go into space, make their own powered Infinity Stones. They can do whatever they want.
Honestly. What is the budget of NASA for a year?
Yeah, no, I don't think
it's $1 billion.
This is a solution for NASA. They offer to help Marvel shoot their movies in space. And, you know, maybe while we're up there, we run a few experiments, explore Mars, whatever, and you guys shoot your movie.
Yeah. The Martian 2 will actually be filmed on Mars.
That is a legitimate Mission to Mars protocol
right there. I was joking, but can we actually do that? That sounds kind of cool.
Well, we're planning. I mean, NASA just last week announced their plan to get people to Mars by 2030, or the 2030s.
Okay. Oh, speaking of the Martian, have either of you guys seen it?
I haven't seen it. I've read the first two chapters of the book.
I heard it was a really good movie.
I want to go see it, but I
want to see
it.
I haven't seen it yet. All right. But I do want to see it.
They do have an 18... $1 billion budget.
NASA. Well, that buys us a lot of stuff, though.
But
all the satellites, all the rockets, all the astronauts.
That's 18 Marvel and Infinity War movies.
Right. Well, you're talking about
the Hubble,
millions of jobs. You're talking the International Space Station.
I think in the future we should just refer to any sort of budget as how many Marvel Infinity Wars can they shoot with that budget.
Well, they're planning on shooting five minutes of an Infinity War.
They're planning on devoting 500 Marvel Infinity Wars to the military budget this year.
I'm pretty sure the comparison that I read said that the 8 Harry Potter movies, aren't there 8, were not $1 billion.
Well, and
all 8 of them combined.
Yes,
and
so that tells you something. Those movies made a lot of money.
$8.5 billion of that is going to be spent towards human exploration operations.
Cool.
That's almost half.
That's 12% of what they're spending.
No, you said $8 billion.
$8.5 billion. That's a comma. 8,510 million.
So $8.5 million out of $19 billion.
No. That is 8,000. That's a comma, not a period.
That's 8,000 millions.
Yes, which is $8 billion.
And their overall budget is $19 billion.
$18.5 billion.
Okay, so that's roughly half.
Right. So,
are you arguing with me about it? It's roughly half.
Okay. But you didn't let me finish my sentence.
Go ahead. You were explaining commas and periods.
No, I was saying, so they are spending 12% on making a movie in outer space.
Oh, okay.
Versus what NASA is actually spending to go to space.
Okay, so my brilliant plan didn't quite pan out after all.
But
they don't have raccoons and shit either, though.
But if they could increase that by 5 or 10%, you know... I'm sure. Why wouldn't NASA go for it?
NASA doesn't have to make a profit, though. I'm sure if Marvel didn't have to make a profit, Infinity Wars would cost $18 billion.
But they do need results. Otherwise, they don't get the funding.
Oh, true. Yeah. Well, I think NASA has always gotten results.
Oh, yeah.
Man. They're scientists, dude.
Well, I mean,
what they do, man.
As, you know, card-carrying geeks, we should all be very supportive of NASA.
I love NASA.
Because we want fucking Star Trek.
I want to go to Mars, or at least, you know, see my kids take the ship to Mars. Or the moon, for goodness sake. I was promised Moon Hotel by now, damn it. I was promised Moon Hotel.
You know what? We are getting towards the end of 2015 here. I guess it's time to start taking the official tally of what Back to the Future Part 2 got, right? At the moment, it's possible that the Cubs could win the World Series. They're in the National League.
I think that's a conspiracy. I think with Obama in the White House, Chicago fan.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And the year Back to the Future... Let me put on my tinfoil hat.
And so at that rate, let me say here that this is episode 103 of Geeks of the Square Table.
Man, why do we always wait to do the intros?
Because you're always talking.
Okay. I waited until somebody started saying something stupid, then cut in with the intro. That's what I waited.
Well, that just made, why did you wait so long then? That was lots of stupid stuff.
And you don't have to pull punches. It was me. It was me. I said, don't be vague. I said something stupid.
You're an idiot, Gomer.
I am. But yeah. We're on episode 103.
103.
Oh, but who are we?
Of the prime time. This is the new prime time.
So, yeah.
Did you need that receipt?
Geeks to the Square Table. After dark.
Yeah, after dark. I hate when he says that because it makes it sound perverted as hell, dude. We are all fully clothed. You know, there are no oils.
I'm not coming back to another one if that changes.
Yeah, right?
Well, hey, you know, we're about as much after dark as Playboy is now, so...
Oh, are we going to talk about that? Oh, we should intro.
I'm Lawrence of America.
I'm the totally awesome Gomer now?
No, you're irredeemable still in my
still, okay. Still irredeemable. All right, irredeemable Gomer.
I'm Adam.
Taylor.
Yeah, Playboy's going PG-13, I think is the best phrase for it.
I guess so. I guess, honestly, I'm amazed that Playboy is even still around.
Well, let me talk from an old man point of view, because I'm old, and I'm old enough to remember when the only way I could get porn was my dad's stack of Playboys.
Okay.
It was a huge deal, finding my dad's stack of Playboys when I was a teenager. It was a huge deal. Because none of my friends had, you know, access to these things.
I get that it's a revered name in certain circles.
It is. And when you're a teenager...
It's a bit of an institution.
Yeah, and when you're a teenager when there isn't the internet. Teenagers have it so easy. If I was a teenager now, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
I guess it's for the best, because you probably never would have
left
your
house. I would still be there. Beard, you know, long beard. Just a monster arm, you know, like Incredible Hulk on one half of my body.
Wow.
But yeah, classic. Playboy's going PG-13. There are no centerfolds. No, I guess they're going like a Maxim sort of thing. Playboy has pretty much been about the articles for a while anyway. And they say that's like cliche,
yeah,
but they do have some hard-hitting stuff in there.
Anyone who's picking up Playboy for the more...
Erotic,
yeah, good word for it. Erotic aspects...
We'll go Greek.
...really needs to open an internet browser.
Yeah. And, I mean, you look what the business Playboy was in. They were in the pornography... and magazine business. If the internet killed anything, it's both of those.
let's be realistic. Even though we can see anything and everything, part of sexy and erotic is our brains, our imagination. What we don't see can be just as... So they can still do sexy photos without doing nudes.
Well, okay, they can still do that, yes. But that product is still available for free on the internet. That's what I mean. There's no product they're offering that isn't available.
They're moving their magazine.
Besides their writing.
But their magazine now will be sold at grocery stores.
So yeah.
I guess some more people.
I mean, it's still going to have
expanding the market.
Yeah, it's still going to be more of a mainstream magazine now.
That's almost an oxymoron, but mainstream magazine is almost an oxymoron. But I have 2 points. I think Playboy is still going to have a stigma as a magazine, and people still will not buy it.
Yeah, I still don't think it would be.
Because the people who want it are going to want porn.
I can't believe it's still around anyway.
Exactly, yeah. And another thing about Playboy wasn't just a magazine. I mean, there was like a brand around Hugh Hefner, and he's the mansion, and there's a channel, and, you know, and... I guess they're still doing movies.
Well, there's still the Playboy culture, quote
exactly,
unquote.
Exactly. I guess it's just getting so classy that they're now not. I don't know. I just don't know. It just.
Doesn't make sense. This will affect my life in zero ways.
In zero ways. Exactly.
Exactly.
It's still pretty weird.
Here
news,
is
though.
Playboy's official.
Oh, read it, Larry.
Reason is we are and always have been entertainment for men with an award-winning journalism and fiction to boot. Playboy is a cultural arbiter of beauty, taste, opinion, humor, and style. And they can still do that. They can still meet without that mission
TNA.
State.
Without the TNA.
Yes. Yes, we're taking a risk by going non-nude, but this is a company, like all great companies, that has risk in its DNA. It was built around a magazine that virtually no one thought would succeed.
That's
and
true.
Yet now it's impossible for us, anyways, to picture a world without Playboy. Our journalism, our art, our photos, our fiction have challenged the norms, defied expectations.
Playboy isn't like the cure for polio, okay?
Okay, but also, that is, based off of that,
the tail end of their their website is now safe for work too.
But the things you, the things that you, the most scathing criticism you
what
could
are you
always
doing? I'm surfing Playboy.com, boss. It's okay, safe for work now.
But okay. The most scathing criticisms you could have leveled against Playboy at any point in their past are still there then, because they're still putting themselves out there as the arbiter of beauty, so they're still objectifying women.
Oh, well, yes.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
So that's not changing. So the things that people probably liked the best about Playboy is going away, and the things that people hated the most about Playboy is still there.
Is being amplified because they're doing away with that other thing.
Now, that being said, there's been a lot of things that have went unnoticed with Playboy because of the nudity has made it a porn magazine that would...
Like forums, like letters.
Writings.
I was just waiting on a pizza. And I'll knock, knock. I think you're
confusing Playboy with Hustler.
Or Penthouse Forum.
But, like,
my imagination is
Stephen King
great.
Was first published in Playboy.
I believe Neil Gaiman was first published in something like that.
You know, so they really have taken a lot of risks that other magazines wouldn't.
True.
Had that been a little more mainstream, maybe the people would have found out about them a lot sooner, you know.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I still think magazines are dead.
This may be too late.
Yeah.
But you got to think, like you said, anybody can do smut. There's millions of smut magazines. Uh-huh. But they have a brand. They have a name. They have a culture.
Yeah. I just thought of another aspect of this. There are a couple now internet websites companies that are calling themselves the Netflix for magazines. But they do not include pornography. Mm-hmm. So Playboy could probably get into that niche and move into a digital, you know, distribution model a lot easier. You know, and I could honestly see if it's cheap, sure, I'll get a year subscription for $18 digital
Playboy.
And
here's the thing.
Screw it.
You're saying magazines are dead, but
they're
not.
Don't
paper
dare say
magazines are dead.
I thought you were going to call comic books a magazine for a second. Don't you dare.
We're seeing less and less, but we're still seeing people reading PDFs and e-books that.
Yeah, I mean,
they're just transforming.
The New York Times seems to be thriving as an online news source.
And the Huffington Post could easily be a paper newspaper if it wanted to.
Yeah,
it's got caliber, you know.
Yeah. You know,
let's move on from Playboy.
Yeah, well, no, mention comic books. Let's talk about.
We talked about new media before. About
yeah,
this.
That's true.
Yeah,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, let's talk about new comics today. What we want to start independent and then move into Marvel, because I Hate Fairyland came out today by Scotty Young. It's great.
Is he writing and drawing?
He's writing and drawing.
Okay,
it's brilliant. It's like the book that he has been waiting to write. It's so good.
So describe it to me. What's the
It's
premise?
A girl who, like any fairy tale, the girl's in her bedroom, blah, 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 and she wants to, makes a wish. Oh, I wish I could go to a magical land. And she gets sucked into fairyland. You know, there's like Ice Cream Island and the moon's talking. You know, it's like what you would imagine in your imagination. You know what I mean? It's
imagine
one of these
in your
things.
Imagination.
It's meta. It's very meta. Right. But the fairy princess comes out. It's like, oh, little girl. And she's like, all I want to do is go home. And she's like, okay, all you can do is find the magic key and you can go home. 27 years later, she's still looking for this damn key. She hasn't physically aged a day, but mentally she's aged 27 years. So imagine a jaded, pissed off 30-year-old woman in a little kid's body hanging out in fairyland. It's awesome. It's so funny. It's so good. I really think it's the book that Scotty Young will be remembered for, if he can keep up the pace on it. It's great.
Well, at the moment, he's mostly associated with the cutesy Marvel covers.
Yeah, the Little Marvels and the Wizard
covers.
Of Oz. Yeah. I think this will move him into, you know, and he's been
doing
writing some
cutesy
stuff.
Yeah. Art.
It's definitely cutesy art, but there's also a lot of fantasy violence in there. There's a drug reference in it that's very funny. Yeah, it's a good book.
Okay.
The whole thing's a drug reference.
Oh, exactly, exactly. But you can tell he really pushes that, you know, because I don't want to do any spoilers because it just came out today and you definitely should get it.
What you described could have been a deleted scene from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yes, definitely could.
I haven't read any of my books from today.
Which is
I just
coming
got
out
about,
in the comic form, apparently.
I got them just before we sat down, so I haven't had a chance to read any yet. But last week, Marvel started their big... latest batch of number ones.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange was pretty good.
The ones from last week that I read, at least, were Doctor Strange, Iron Man, and...
read Spider-Man?
Yeah, the new Spider-Man. Is it Amazing Spider-Man?
I did not read Spider-Man.
I think Doctor Strange was the winner last week.
I love Doctor Strange.
I like Doctor Strange quite a lot.
Doctor Strange was really good. He had a very...
He had a Constantine feel to him.
Kind of.
The character was a lot less dour than he's normally depicted.
Yes.
It's kind of a womanizer a little bit.
I believe the term they used was horn dog. Which means that two out of the three ones I read last week featured the term horn dog.
Oh my goodness.
Expected to see it with Tony Stark, did not expect to see it with Doctor Strange.
I like Doctor Strange. It did have a little Constantine feel, but it also had sort of a dark when that Papa Wizard or whatever, and he was, you know, like... Doc Strange kind of got his finger in his chest, you know, was telling him how my day is, and I see all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
I really dug the way they sort of overlapped Doctor Strange being able to see all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
I loved that.
It's a great creative team. Yeah. It's Jason Aaron and Chris Bacciolo.
Bacciolo.
I don't know how to say your name.
You're a great artist, though, sir. And, very difficult to pronounce last name.
And Chris. They are both very good at writing and depicting kind of these crazy, bizarre, exotic things. They did good work together on Wolverine and the X-Men, and now it looks like they're going to get... to do some good work here. That being said, if I have a gripe, it is that was quite a tone shift from what I've been seeing from Doctor Strange lately in New Avengers.
Definitely.
To what he is being depicted as.
That might be explained at the end of Secret Wars.
Exactly. That goes back to my original beef with Marvel right now. Last Days is continuing to the middle of the event that Last Days is supposed to represent. Last Days is supposed to be a precursor to it, you know. And now the next thing, big thing, is coming out in the middle of the current thing.
Barely out of sync.
It's like they don't even have the brakes pumped before they're shifting
the biggest,
gears.
The biggest problem.
Pop the clutch.
Biggest problem has to be that Iron Man number one.
Okay.
That last page reveal.
Oh, we'll talk about that in a moment.
Were you not pissed?
Really.
We'll get to it. I figured you would be pissed at that last page reveal of Iron Man.
I'm okay with it.
I was worried.
Let's finish talking about
Spider Man because I didn't read Spidey.
Oh, let's finish with Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange has never had a lot of luck keeping a book down.
That's right.
The character is hard to work with because...
When was the last time there was a Doctor Strange book?
There was a Doctor Strange book by...
Back in the 60s, there was
There was one a little while ago. I don't remember who was on it. I found it just digging through my stack the other day. I found a Doctor Strange book. But the last one I remember is The Oath.
It had to be a...
By Brian K.
That was
K.
a miniseries.
It had to be
yes.
a minute, though.
It's been years.
Yeah.
But Doctor Strange has a hard time keeping an ongoing book. He has a hard... He's a very prominent figure. He's like the magic guy in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, and magic is tough.
He pops up in an awful lot of books, but he doesn't have much luck keeping a solo title.
Mm-hmm.
I think because he's a hard character to sort of define what he can and cannot do.
He almost feels in this book like a mix of several characters.
Well, now he's a Vegas.
Well, he's got... he's got part of Tony Stark because he's this womanizer. I never realized he was a horn dog. I never realized that.
There's elements of it I saw in some books. Like, Matt Fraction, the preview I read for his Defenders book, and the thing that made me decide not to pick it up was a depiction of him sleeping with some, like, college girl or whatever.
See, I did not see that.
See, okay, I thought when I read that, that's kind of offbeat for the character. I don't think I'm going to get this. And now we are kind of getting that here. Now... If you get past that, it's not that big of a deal, I suppose.
It's not a big deal to me now. It just feels like...
In order to nail down
this character, they've had to change the character to where he's not even really the character. Which I'm okay with. It was still a good book, but why does it have to be called Doctor Strange? If it's not about Doctor Strange.
Because there's a movie coming out.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. They're rebranding this character to match what that script is going
to
be.
They have to pump out some trades before the movie comes out so they can sell.
I totally agree, and I think that's... Not that it's a bad... bad book.
They got to get creative.
It was
a great
book. It was by far the best number one that Marvel put out last week.
I agree.
This is a sort of cynical corporate move we can live with as long as the books are good.
I don't know why we keep giving Marvel this pass, because that would not fly at DC. We would not. I mean,
a lot of shit would fly. If the books were good.
Marvel, the books are good. DC, the books are still kind of shit.
Marvel, they both do gimmicks, but Marvel at least seems to put good quality into the gimmicks.
Marvel puts everything into it.
The only reason people have put up with Secret Wars for as long as they did is because they didn't read issue one and go, this is a load of
It was good.
Yeah.
And
That's a good point.
Quality overcomes.
It's like sports. As long as you win, it doesn't matter what you do. You know, you have people beating their old ladies. It's okay.
Patriots are a bunch of rotten cheaters, but they won the Super Bowl last year. So.
God, I wish you wouldn't bring up the Patriots.
I'm sorry. I hate them too, man. Oh, but anyway.
Yeah, other books. Spidey or Iron Man?
Let's talk about Spidey, and then we'll talk about Iron Man, because Iron Man's going to be a longer
conversation. If you haven't seen Ted 2, it's worth watching just for the Patriots.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah,
talk about Spidey. I did not read Spider-Man. I don't like the idea of him being Iron Man with a car.
Spidey was okay.
I would put it at third place of the three books that we mentioned.
See,
that's not necessarily bad, because I didn't think it was a bad book. I did not say it was a bad book. I said it was my least favorite.
It's not a bad book. But it's not a great book. It's just okay.
So
if you've been reading Dan Slott stuff, this is largely the same.
If you're reading Dan Slott stuff, it's just a continuation of his stuff. And that's really the main problem I have with it. I'm tired of Dan Slott writing Spider-Man.
That is a good point. Yeah. I am ready for some new blood on the book.
He's been on the book for at least five years.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
The only thing I know about it is spinning out of Superior Spider-Man.
He's
Doc
been writing Spider-Man for about 5 years.
He wrote Superior Spider-Man. He wrote the build-in to Superior Spider-Man. So
yeah. It's been a while.
Let's just round it off at three.
Well, no,
we have to go back. We have to do research
ongoing for about
through that.
For about
so the only thing I know about this book, in Superior Spider-Man, Doc Ock Spidey opened up his own company.
Yes.
Now Peter has inherited that.
Yes, and he's taking it to do good work across the globe.
Took it global.
They've seen, apparently, he invented the Apple Watch for the Marvel Universe.
Oh, okay.
What do they call it? Parker something?
Yeah, it's the Parker something.
It's the Parker something, and it connects you to the web.
Because it's Spider.
Because it's Spider.
Some specific web thing, yeah.
Wow. Genius.
Spider-Man is his bodyguard.
That's why Dan Slott is on this book
still,
guys.
To the book's credit, they address the elephant in the room of... Yes, it is ripping off Iron Man.
It is. It's totally ripping off Iron Man.
There was a scene where,
you're the poor man's Iron Man.
They directly said that.
Tony Stark.
Yeah, they talked about how, so you have a big, fabulous tech company, and Spider-Man's your bodyguard. How are you not the poor man's Tony Stark?
So that's how it is. Peter Parker has Spider-Man as his bodyguard.
Yes,
same way Iron Man used to do.
The Prowler is the one who stands in for him when they have to be in the same place at the same time.
Yes. Who's Prowler?
He's a relatively obscure Spider-Man character. He's one of those reformed villain types. He started off as one of those crooks with a heart of gold.
So I have two questions.
And Spider-Man beat him up a couple of times and now they're friends.
Those are my favorite friends.
All I know is he's not as good at making quips as Spider-Man is.
Yeah, and they address that.
That's cool.
That was one of my favorite parts. Was the whole man, this is harder than it looks. making quips.
This old joke.
So
it's distracting me.
Miles in the book? Was Miles Morales?
He was not in the book.
Was the car in the book?
Okay, the car was.
Well, Miles,
what?
Miles Spider-Man was actually pretty badass.
Okay, so the book had about. Four or five.
Oh, okay, okay.
Four
it wasn't
five
the main story, but
in it.
They justified the price tag, by doing previews for all the other spider-related shit.
And Miles was in about two pages of that back part.
That's weird.
They also did a preview for Silk, for Spider-Woman, for the Web Warriors thing, where it's
2099,
like a
which Spider-Man? Larry was reading earlier.
Yeah,
I didn't understand
they've announced
it.
That.
Oh,
yeah. It's a Gwen and Silk. Team up.
That was not in this.
Okay.
So
on to Iron Man.
I decided
I liked it quite a lot.
Read some of the superhero number ones or whatever, and not being a superhero number
or fan.
Yes. Spider-Man 29 was kind of bewildering.
But it's very weird.
But I read it, but the way it was written.
It's Peter David.
was very.
You either like Peter David or you don't.
Exactly.
You either love him or you don't. Like I was reading the minutes of a board meeting.
Yeah, I haven't read that. Classic I haven't been a fan theater. Of the. Yeah, I haven't been a fan of the 2099 stuff for a while.
It was very dry. I'm not like there was okay stuff going on, but there was it was just very dry reading. It's like well, this is too exciting. How can I make it sound more boring?
Did that come out this week?
Yes,
that's a this week.
Okay,
let's talk about Iron Man from last week because
okay,
the only thing I really really loved just, about it was David Marquez's art.
His art was phenomenal. Like the articulation on Madam Mask's
mask. It was so much good detail, great shading.
It reminded me of All the Right Ways of Steve McNiven.
Yes. Oh yes. It almost makes you want to pick up the book because that armor is going to do some really cool stuff, and Marquez is going to draw the hell out of it.
It looks pretty cool.
But I did not care for the story at all.
I liked it. I mean, I thought, okay, as a guy who has gotten pretty sick of Bendis over the years, of his...
filled up to nothing.
He forces dialogue tropes. All of his characters read the same after a while. And that's fine for some characters, but okay, Beast from the X-Men should not be all flustered. He should be very articulate. Captain America should be inspirational and not all like
bummed out,
grumpy and bumbly.
Yeah.
For Tony Stark, though, it's a good fit. It works pretty well.
I didn't care for it. It felt a lot like the Tony Stark from the film universe. And not and we
that's,
don't know
that's probably what they're going for.
It probably is, and we don't know how Secret the Tony, Wars
the
is going to end.
Tony Stark from the film universe sells millions of dollars of movie ticket sales. Tony Stark from the comic books
is a drunk.
Is a B-lister.
Yeah.
At best.
Well, right, that is a big... He seemed comic pretty, books, he's nowhere near the same level as the movie Tony Stark.
He seemed pretty... in step with the character that I can remember reading from the last few years.
Well,
the first time I really read the character very steady was probably the Matt Fraction run.
But
back
you've probably
before
been reading
it.
Him only in like other books, team books.
Matt Fraction's Invincible Iron Man, I remember. I read Kieran Gillen's first arc on...
I've just come to the decision that I'm not a solo Iron Man fan.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
He's fine in the Avengers... But yeah. I've tried Iron Man.
Oh, he's indispensable in the Avengers.
Yeah, exactly. I've tried Iron Man maybe 4 or 5 times. I tried the Fraction run.
I have definitely
Alien run.
Yeah,
I actually got all of Superior, but I thought that was just okay.
Tom Taylor.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure what it is anymore. I don't know if it's a combination of the character and the writer.
It
but I just didn't care for it.
Me.
Yeah, it's almost hard for me to put my finger on it.
Every time I get an Iron Man number one,
but let's talk about what happened in
the book. Was beautiful. It made me laugh at several times.
Yeah, I laughed when Thor was dropping in.
Yeah,
the back.
That was very funny.
That was a genuinely good moment. I will give it that.
I liked his interaction with that scientist lady they introduced.
The one that he's dating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, when she's like, I got a cure for the X gene. Yes. And he's like, oh, no, if you remember it, we got to... Yeah, it was very
good. Well,
that's
actually a thing where they've done that before.
They have.
That's one of those things where, like, are they just ignoring that, or is this somehow different, or well, whatever.
Secret Wars, man.
That was Joss Whedon's run on Astonishing X-Men. Yes. That was the premise of the first arc, where somebody had a cure.
Yep.
They destroyed it at the end, so I guess maybe that's why it's okay. Whatever.
Maybe she's the doctor from that book.
No, it's not her.
It's not her? Okay, good.
That doctor's name was Kavita Rao. And this
that's
doctor,
right.
This doctor's name I've only seen in that one issue, so I don't remember it yet.
That's right. It's amazing that you remember that D-list character from an arc like
I
a decade
that.
Ago.
That's
Me
one
too.
Of my favorite X-books.
Me too. Me
I love
too,
that
man.
Book.
That's awesome that you remember that.
Oh, but anyway. Okay, so let's go ahead and address the elephant in the room. The
For that book.
The issue ends with a...
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
This is a huge spoiler alert.
This could be a major spoiler for Secret Wars also. Dr. Doom shows up at the very last page in the ruins of Castle Latveria, or whatever the fuck it's Castle Doom.
It's a very pretty Dr. Doom, too.
Yes, okay, Dr. Doom has... Dr. Doom...
He looked like Bruce Wayne.
He was beautiful.
He has...
Like green eyes? Beautiful man.
He has manscaped magnificently.
Yes.
He's very handsome. He has like the tiny little scar on his cheek, which so I guess we're going back to pre-burned his own face off with his mask, Dr. Doom.
Yeah,
we're definitely
the
away
armor.
From like the hideous motherfucker we saw in Secret Wars,
which was, and I'm not sure which
that was a good moment.
I don't know which piece of art was better. Riddick on the gross Doom or Marquez on the hot Doom. I'm not sure. It was just.
Anyway,
the Ribbit Doom looked like a Chunk from the or Sloth from the
Goonies. He did look like Sloth without a nose.
Gross, man.
I don't mean flat skin. I mean missing a big hole in his face nose. I don't feel bad about spoiling that one. That one's from a few months ago.
Yeah. And then Secret Wars. If you're not reading Secret Wars,
you're part of the problem.
But all in all, an okay week for premiere issues last week. All in all.
I liked what I read.
I liked what
none
I read.
None of them were bad.
None of them were bad.
Yeah, none of them were terrible.
Only I would say only one of them was great.
Doc Strange was great.
Well,
I loved it. Even though it had its problems, I loved it.
I liked Iron Man quite a bit.
No, it's okay to like it. Don't be disappointed. Yeah. Don't be like,
That's just my opinion.
Damn it, I liked it.
You can like whatever you want.
Yeah. Damn it, I liked it.
But okay.
Shit.
So, overall, pretty high quality, I'd say.
I think it's off to a good start. This week will be a little bit more telling at Marvel.
There's a bunch of stuff I'm definitely not getting, and some stuff I'm waiting to hear an opinion.
Well, like I said, I read the 29. And you know, for number one, it should be a better jumping on point.
Yeah,
I read the new Avengers.
You've read everything.
Okay, let's just spread these out.
I read Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy is another Bendis book. Valerio Shidi.
Okay, so is on that book.
And Isaac Eisenhoff, I think, is doing the cover.
Out of the new Avengers, I thought it did the best job preparing me, having no experience whatsoever, as far as being a solid jump on point. Yeah. This, I didn't feel like I was missing something.
This is Al Ewing and, what's his name? Sandoval, what's his first name? Ramon or something?
I reserve the right to reverse my position if I hear it's great, but I passed on New Avengers because I don't give a shit about any of the characters on the cover.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like, I've never heard of any of these people, period.
Okay, I know.
That's why they're the New Avengers.
There's these two guys from Young Avengers, Hulkling, and the fucking all-powerful Wiccan.
Yeah.
How's that going to work?
I'm not sure.
Well, and like they explain everybody's powers. Yeah, they do Girl. This little
and
thing.
I didn't even know Squirrel Girl was on the team until I saw the book today.
Right.
I like Squirrel
Girl. I love Squirrel Girl too, so that's even another reason
for me
to love
that
book.
I like that Sunspot has a nice little, like he's the leader of the team. I think that's a great
spinning
carryover.
Spinning out of the last New
Avengers.
Yeah,
I think that's a great carryover from the last Avengers arc.
The reason I'm picking up New Avengers in lieu of, for example, Uncanny Avengers, which also comes out today, or other books, is because Al Ewing is writing it, and he's also writing another Avengers book called
Ultimates, isn't it?
Ultimates. Well, my feeling is whoever's writing two Avengers books is also going to be writing the next big event, and those books are going to tie into the event more closely. That's why I'm picking on it. I like the Marvel Universe, not so much the Marvel characters.
Okay.
Reading this from never reading any superhero books.
Yeah.
I will probably read number two.
Awesome. Okay. I will probably read number two.
Maybe I'll take a look at it.
It was interesting enough that it has potential.
Good.
Guardians.
That's a Bendis, Valerio.
Not quite as interesting. I don't think anything really happened, but it made me laugh.
That's good.
So
Bendis has the character, like the character interactions in the Guardians books, down really well.
Read really fast, really well.
He just has
snappy.
The last like three arcs in his last run on Guardians
were bad.
Nothing happened. Venom Planet was lame, dude. Venom Planet was lame. That Richard Rider arc was a mess.
Yeah. That's a new book coming out, Nova, too. I think that's next week.
Yeah.
But now this is with the Thing, Ben Grimm, Blue-Eyed Ben Grimm on the team, and Star-Lord off the team.
No, Star-Lord is on the team.
Oh, my bad.
It's Kitty
Star-Lord
Pride
is now Kitty Pryde.
I refuse to call her ass Star-Lord. I'm sorry. She's Kitty freaking Pryde. She's Shadow Cat. Way before she's Star-Lord.
Kitty Pryde's an awesome character.
I'm not taking that away, but
Peter
her name
Quill
is
Star-Lord.
Is
not Star-Lord
is
anymore. He is not the Star Lord. He's
the king.
He is the king.
Oh, did he become?
Yeah,
oh.
He is the king.
He's the Emperor of Spartax now.
Yeah.
The
king. So she is Kitty Pryde, Star Lord.
I don't like that.
So you can tell I've been off the book for a while.
Yeah. I don't like calling her Star Lord.
And now, having not read any of it, they do a decent enough job explaining all that.
Right, so
I did see the movie, of course, so I was familiar with some of the characters.
Is Bautista still your favorite character?
Yeah, he didn't really come off that. The funniest character was the Thing.
Oh, really?
Well, that makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah, I mean, it does.
Jax is not the thing funny is being in the written, comics. If the thing right. is being written I mean, well, he's very charming.
Well, the way his character, I mean, that character in the movie, would they,
they're two different...
That as a very dry, it seemed like that would be hard to portray well.
Yeah.
In a comic.
All right, yeah. Another book dropping. Captain America.
This is the one I was most tempted to pick up today.
Now this
just
is
because I like that creative team.
Nick Spencer, awesome.
He was Danny, great on Black Widow.
Awesome on Black.
My problem with this is it's Rick Remender's leftovers.
It is kind of Rick Remender's leftovers, but Rick Remender sucked on it. So maybe someone will make some good hash
Nick
out of Spencer's his leftovers.
Some guys can really pick up the torch front and make something good out of a bad situation.
I take poop and turn it into a nice sculpture.
Rick Remender's another character I got really burnt out on.
Right,
there's only
He's Rick Remender's. I've heard he's a character.
He's quite the character. my bad. Rick Remender's another writer I got burned out on because there's only so many times you can nuke a city before it gets boring.
His Marvel stuff is shit.
All of his indie stuff is amazing.
I'm sure it is, but in Marvel stuff, it's always like, we're doomed, it's hopeless, it's hopeless. Oh, wait, no, we solved the problem.
Everything after Uncanny X-Force.
Everything's like, the stakes are way too high, and they're never resolved in a satisfying
way. Even X-Force took him to a different world.
Yeah.
It was good, but it was still kind of a cop-out. It was his early cop-out. So it's like, oh, he's just doing that once.
Remender just likes to make everything dire.
Yeah.
As dire as it can possibly be.
And you can't make it so dire to the level he wants without the world being in peril. And he's like, well, I need a new world.
In his opening arc on Uncanny Avengers, he had
Volume 1.
A man got mind controlled into beating his mutant son to death.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, there's nowhere to go from here.
Exactly. Exactly, man.
Okay, I guess.
Yeah, so Sam Wilson, Captain America number one. I know nothing about it except the creative team. I don't know where they're going with it. I can only assume he's going to be doing Captain America stuff, saving the world, kicking Hydra ass, stuff like that.
Fans of the Phoenix Suns? No such thing.
Well, no, Suns!
I do think it's interesting to put the Falcon... Like a literal Falcon flying with him as Captain America.
Well, that's his buddy.
Well, I know.
Yeah, it's Red Wing.
Red Wing.
Okay.
Is it Red Tail?
No, it's Red Wing.
It is Red Wing.
It's Red Wing.
I've always been confused as to how the mechanics work of him having the wings and the shield.
I thought Red Wing was killed in the last.
He throws it and it has to spin around, do a loop.
He falls every time he throws the shield.
I thought Baron Blood killed Red Wing in the last...
It's a new Red Wing. Red Tail.
That sounds like something Remender would do. So
yeah,
sure.
No shit.
Although
no
it looks like a cyborg.
Yeah, have you ever seen Silverhawk? Silverhawk is Tallyhawk.
Don't remind
me. Tallyhawk.
Okay, as dumb as Thundercats was...
Oh, yeah, Silverhawk.
Silverhawks is a dumb version of Thundercats.
Yeah, yeah. Have you tried watching it recently?
No.
Oh, dude, it does not hold up at all.
You don't say.
It's bad. I was embarrassed for my younger self.
Silverhawks or Thundercats?
Both. Yeah. They're both just terrible. All right, last book, Uncanny Avengers. This is the continuation of Cap's Unity Squad.
I didn't even consider this book because that...
was an Avenger?
No, because that art looks terrible.
The art does not look good.
Yeah.
It's not a fit, especially not Captain America there. He looks just
that old
arm.
Man Cap.
Just look at his arm. That's old man Cap.
Bad.
Who apparently is still jacked as fuck.
And look at Deadpool.
Oh, yeah, he's a 70-year-old. He's like Jack
LaLanne. Is very messed up in this cover.
Isn't he dead now?
Jacqueline, I think.
Okay, is that
dead.
The new Inhuman character, or is that the Human Torch?
I think that's the new Inhuman
character.
That's
the Inhuman character. Human Torch is in the Inhuman book, which is why they had to have Dante, which I think is his name, out.
Does he have a superhero name?
He does, but I don't
remember it either. Like Inferno or something weird like that. Fireboy!
Well, that's the other...
They've run out of names, Sailor.
Well, I know in the Avengers, they didn't call Wiccan... They called him a reality bender.
Okay, that's a potential pitfall for that book. Is the last time I checked in on that character, he was all fucking powerful.
Wiccan's the best. I love Wiccan.
Yeah, he doesn't come off a very, very powerful.
Scarlet Witch was an omnipotent. They still found things to throw her away.
They served her a lot.
She went back and forth. She was like freaking
reality
up and down,
warper.
Dude.
That's what they describe her.
Scarlet Witch has whatever powers the writer decides she has.
And Wiccan might be the same way now.
And when they did...
There's a lot of characters like that.
S.H.I.E.L.D., didn't they describe the TV show S.H.I.E.L.D. described Scarlet Witch as Probability manipulator or something.
Yes, they have. And they've done that in the comics. Probability
manipulator. Her original powers were like she could make you like trip on a lead pipe or something.
Yeah,
which
bad luck.
Which evolved from there to be she can remake all of reality on a whim.
And that's a long trip.
Yeah.
But they did take that trip. That's weird. Yeah. Only in comics, man.
Only so, in comics.
What else is coming out? Chewbacca dropping today, another Star Wars
looking
book.
Forward to it.
There was another Star Still Wars Noto book on the art. At NYCC, too.
Do tell.
It's called Obi-Wan and Anakin by Charles Soule.
Tell me less.
Exactly.
Okay.
I think it stars an old man with a ponytail and a young whiny bitch.
Oh,
it's the only
man.
Thing I can imagine.
So it's like, okay, it's like
hey,
between
but Phantom Menace
and
Attack
of the Clones.
I've already seen that trial
not interested.
Hey, it can't be worse
okay,
than
you know
what we've already
that's,
seen.
The Clone that's Wars. Fair. Maybe I should give it at least a...
At least it will be the best thing you've seen of Obi-Wan training.
Okay, that's definitely, definitely going to be a I'm not going to buy it day one book.
Oh, certainly. I'll probably buy it day one, but I know how
to buy
it.
I shouldn't
condemn
it before
one.
I
will buy it day one simply because of the quality of all of the other Star Wars books so far.
That's a fair point.
A very fair point.
So far, they have not missed.
They made me like a Lando book. If you can do that, I'll buy anything you put out with
Darth
Star Wars
Vader has
on
been
it.
Consistently good. The Star Wars, especially recently, the Star Wars book has been
issue
great.
Issue 10 was...
okay,
so good!
Chewbacca C-3PO team-up is...
It's the best buddies ever.
Yeah.
I want a book just with those two guys, just hanging out. I don't care what they could be watching
really,
TV.
C-3PO is the best choice for having someone be Chewie's mouthpiece, because someone has to, since we don't understand what he's saying. And C-3PO, not only is he good at doing it, that's kind of what his actual job
is. He's a translator, and protocol is his
and
deal.
He does a great
and
job.
And Chewie doesn't give a shit about protocol. So it really is a great odd couple sort of pairing there.
It's a great team-up.
Yeah.
It's been a delight. Oh, and then we got Luke in the
like
Jedi him. Gladiator.
I don't know.
Arena.
I don't care for that, but I love what's going on with Han and his
well,
old lady and
inherently
Leia.
We
like
know
that.
He can't be that much better since he has to go learn actual Jedi training from Yoda, we know.
Exactly, yeah. But I don't know if I care for a dude. I'm a Jedi collector of stuff. It seems weird. I don't know. It fits, but it just seemed weird.
It's them running with crazy ideas.
And they have to have something. And now everyone's coming to Luke's rescue. That'll be issue 11.
Yeah, I do like that Luke is a complete and total screw.
He is. He's like a lovable loser almost. Because you know he does all these great things.
He has good moments. Like he in
like
the first,
he blew up a couple Death Stars.
He blew up the Death Star, of course. Yeah. In the
he
first
just
arc,
a whole bunch of stupid
in the first
decisions.
Arc, he blew up the weapons factory.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
When he fought Darth Vader especially, it was apparent... Man,
you don't know shit.
Well, in that issue 10,
he's very much a noob at the whole
thing.
In that
issue 10, that one dude pops him in the noggin with the butt of his lightsaber, and he's like, "Oh, good, you're dead. You have to last longer than that for the Hutt or whatever."
Yeah,
yeah. And the Hutt wants him to die anyway.
Yeah, but he wants him to die.
Have
in
a show on a show, though.
Yeah. So I'm anxious to see where it goes, but that's not easily not my favorite part of that.
You talk
book.
About the quality. Both of the Star Wars books that came out last week, Darth Vader and Star Wars.
Oh, and Shattered Empire's been really good.
I loved it. Greg Rucka?
Yeah,
I love it. Oh.
They outsold every other book.
I'm not surprised.
Me neither.
Yeah, I mean...
Apparently you sold out of
Journey, Lando. Journey of the Star Wars, number 204. It came close to outselling every other book.
Wow.
But, I mean, that's like every other book we got.
I've been enjoying that quite a lot. Once again, they've been putting the A-list talent on these books.
Star Wars deserves the A-list
I don't
talent.
Know the artist from Shattered Empire, but they've been doing great work.
Chichetto.
Okay, so that's a name I'm unfamiliar with, and I feel bad about it now because he's yeah,
brilliant,
great work.
Amazing
work. Oh, and then Greg Rucka is one of those guys where, like, you know, I could read his shopping list and
the
still
thing
be
about
wildly
Greg Rucka,
entertained.
Greg Rucka really thrives when he's building a universe. He doesn't have to build a universe here. The universe is there. So he can spend all of his time doing great dialogue,
but he's still,
doing creative stuff.
One exception to that is Secret Wars number 6 came out last week.
Oh, it's... Yeah, well, it's going to outsell.
That one, it sold as much as... or just a few issues more than Star Wars.
That makes sense. It's a big event.
Well, Secret Wars has been great, too.
Oh, man, it's been so fun.
Man, fucking Marvel right now.
They really are. I mean, I was about to say, and then there's DC. Batman and Robin Eternal 2 came out. What else is there to talk about?
I'm reading more DC right now
really?
Than I have been in the last few years. Just because I started picking up Black Widow, which I'm enjoying.
No, Constantine came out
today. I read the first couple of
book.
Issues of Martian Manhunter, but I think I'm dropping that one.
Okay.
I actually like that book.
It's all right, but... I think I got hype backlash on that one because everyone's like, "Oh, it's the best fucking thing ever!"
And I'm
like,
"Thinking, like, and I wanted
okay,
to
this
wait.
Is all right."
I wanted to wait for the first arc to see the reviews on the first arc.
Yeah. Oh, but anyway,
I haven't heard good things.
I'm reading the Superman book right now just because
the
writer, Yang's writing it.
Yeah,
And he's amazing. The book's been
weird.
It's been all right.
Isn't he like Jeffrey McGillicuddy now or something like that? Doesn't he have a new name?
Oh, I don't fucking know. I'm reading the mainline Superman book.
Maybe that's
like,
an action.
That's an action you're talking about.
And that's weird.
I don't know.
See, but I just don't know.
I'm just waiting for them to retcon this idea they had of making Superman's identity public because you know they're going to eventually
have to.
I mean, they can get whatever stories they can get out of it. Sure, that's fine. Cool.
I almost have no comment at all on DC. I'm getting Batman. That's it.
I mean, Brian Hitch's JLA came out, and that's just okay.
Well, that's the problem. There's like Brian Hitch's.
His art is awesome.
He should.
But he's writing it.
I'm not. He might be a great writer. I have no idea.
Exactly.
But I want to. If I'm picking up a book with Brian Hitch on the cover, I'd like to look at the art. Yeah.
Lee Bermejo. Awesome artist. He's writing We Are Robins, which I heard is okay.
It's okay. It's all right. He should be drawing it.
He should
His
be
Suiciders
drawing it.
Looks amazing.
His Suiciders it is amazing.
Oh,
and
have,
it read well.
I have been reading Dr. Fate, which...
Okay.
It's fine.
That
it's
seems like a your kind of character, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but that's the thing. Is like, I haven't sat in any of the glowing praise for any of the books I just mentioned.
Yeah, that's...
They've been, you know, they've been all right, and then in Martian Manhunter's case...
I want DC books to be good. I
the
want
problem
them to
with
be
DC,
great. And I just can't find one.
The problem with DC editorial is they're too afraid to branch out to try new things.
They're
isn't
always
the
copying
Robins,
Marvel.
Isn't the
they're
Robin
always
Wars
they're doing whatever Marvel just
it's
did.
It's ironic when the Vertigo books do so well.
They do, too.
It's something like, well, we can take a chance and call it Vertigo. But we can't we
put
can't
Batman
th-
in it,
you know,
or Superman in it.
Well,
exactly.
I think ultimately it comes down to the stable of talent they have.
Well, yeah,
Marvel stable
did poach all of their top.
Marvel
writers.
Continues
not that
to
DC
poach
doesn't
their
have good
talent.
People on their in their roster, but pound for pound,
be
Marvel's
Jeff
is
Johns.
Much much better.
It can't all be Jeff Johns.
But
Marvel
really?
Has Jason Aaron,
Bendis,
Hickman,
Jeff Lemire.
Spencer now.
Spencer.
Yeah, it's
Charles Soule.
It's a huge stable. And they stole all these people from, well, not Bendis or Hickman. But Hickman could have been persuaded to go to DC if they'd offered him a
but
gig.
Also, think about it this way.
I guarantee you he would love to write Legion.
But Hickman would not fall in line with DC editorial.
That's true.
And that is the
He'd
problem.
He'd be like, screw you, I'm writing
DC
my
editorial
Legion.
Is too authoritarian.
So they does Dan DiDio got to go?
If that's what I don't know if it's even his fault, but
and,
yes, if it is his fault, he's the one
also,
that needs to go.
He's in charge.
Concerned.
He's
Marvel
in charge
Comics
of
is
down.
A good source for stories for movies.
That's true. The arcs
they
it's
probably
a test
are throwing extra money at them. Go ahead, get the good writers. Come up with some good stories. You know,
well, their cover price and volume is a lot higher than DC
too.
When you're selling the shit out of those Star Wars books, you can write a shitty Deadpool book.
Something,
you know?
Something we should probably talk about.
Okay, yeah, let's get off of comics if we...
Speaking of movies, that reminds me that Civil War is coming out, and that reminds me... Sorry, this is actually going to be
No,
that's
great.
They're doing Civil War 2, apparently.
Oh, well, that's apparent.
And we talked about that last week.
My bad.
It's just a rumor right now.
No, they're doing
I'm okay
War
for
two.
It. I'm okay to get
in
it.
Fact,
I would like to see a Civil War 2. There's a new status quo. Characters have changed.
Are they doing Cap versus Iron Man again?
Yeah, or? That's what
but
was on
that's
the poster.
What I, was saying.
I guess that's what they want for
Cap,
the movie. So
but it's Falcon.
Sure, okay.
Well,
and there's a lot of new characters. We see where Thor wasn't even around during Civil War, if you recall.
Yeah.
Kamala, we see what she's going to do. Hulk wasn't even around during Civil War, if you recall.
A lot of the heavy hitters were missing in action.
That's my favorite Hulk, though.
And Planet Hulk, me too. The one who talks and is cool with everybody.
And I feel remiss if I didn't bring it up. The Walking Dead premiere, I was incredibly disappointed with
it. I have not watched it.
Oh, yeah, let's switch over to TV.
Did not really care for it.
I really like... I was
my
really
wife's
enjoying
kinda pissed off that
the,
I'm not into it.
The Fear of the Walking Dead because... I didn't know what was going on. Good character development.
I didn't watch a single episode of that either.
I thought that was really good. Now,
has Walking Dead run its course? Is it starting to outlive itself?
Yes.
Yes and no.
I can't stand fucking any of the characters. Rick, I hate him. I hate seeing his face. I'm sick of it.
So it TV depends. Rick has caught up to comic.
Yes, that's exactly what's happened. I wish Carl had a big hole in his head on the show.
They can't do that in the show, though.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't mean literally kill the actor.
Oh, that's what I assume.
I just don't like the characters, man. I'm just done. I know it's a horrible world to live in, but I'm just done visiting
this world. People don't care about the characters of the TV shows nearly as much. Nothing happened in the episode. It was all special effects, all zombies.
Yeah.
They showed thousands and thousands of zombies. And they gave people... That's what people wanted to see. So it was a very much... Oh, you bitched about not being enough zombies here. Here's the horde of zombies.
Well, the show's not about the zombies.
It's not supposed to be.
It's really not.
All zombies. But, that's one of the things we talked about last week, too, is how zombie shows are supposed to not be about the zombies.
I was really disappointed because there was no actual plot points. And
I'm just sick of the world. I know. It's a zombie-infested world. It sucks.
Well...
I'm just done visiting. Of course it sucks. It's a zombie
world.
What
season are we going on right now?
Six.
Yeah,
that's way too much.
How many seasons is Breaking Bad?
It was five.
Oh, was it only three?
It was five.
I think it was five. Five is the number. Mad Men went six because of fan. Unless you're Supernatural. Then you can go as many as you want.
Fuck Supernatural.
But five. After five.
I just pissed off
half our audience. But after five, Supernatural did get worse after the fifth season.
It outlived.
Well, it was supposed to end on the fifth season.
Well, didn't... isn't that when they killed Buffy the first time at the end of the fifth season?
He wanted the show to end. And they said, no, we need more. And they kept throwing money at him. They're like, okay, screw you. I'm going to do whatever I want.
Okay, you'll give me my own
Here's
show.
Here's a musical episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at shows like Lost where, you know...
Definitely outlived it.
It was good, but...
But that went two seasons longer than they wanted it to.
There were a couple of seasons where they... Everyone bitches and complains because the episodes were bad, and they're right, because they were completely spinning their wheels.
The only series that have never gone longer than they should have is Star Trek. The only ones. Because they could go forever.
Well, Star Trek does not tell an overarching story.
The problem with Lost was...
But you're right.
Well, the ones that...
Yeah, they refused to move the plot along until they had an end date. That was why Lost spun its wheels for so long.
Yeah.
So they deliberately... crash the ratings of their own show to get it in.
People wanted another season of Breaking Bad, but they didn't get one, and that's for the best.
Sopranos. Perfect example.
Ended
people
when it should've.
were begging them to do more. And, yeah, no, sorry.
Avatar The Last Airbender.
That's a good example,
One of the
too.
Things that... I think it's the best cartoon ever made, and a large part of that is it's perfectly paced, and they only did it for three seasons.
And it's beginning, middle, and end. Self-contained story.
Every episode accomplishes something, and then that's on top of all the other just awesome
art,
things about
action,
that.
And characters.
But one of the big things is that they built up the final confrontation masterfully.
Yeah.
Well,
it had a good plan.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. When your plan outlives what you want to do... Or, you know
well,
what I
that's,
mean?
That's the other thing, you know. You talk about every episode accomplished something. You've got filler episodes, and that's where it brings the show down.
Oh, yeah.
Even
shows that I kind of like. Okay, Naruto. I'm a fan. I like it. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But, oh, my God, the fucking filler on it.
Yeah. They fill it full of just time wasting to extend the series to get more money.
Even originally they had the excuse well they don't want the anime to overtake the manga.
Yeah,
the manga's been done for like a year
exactly,
and they're still doing filler.
Yep.
It's just
my problem with these shows is they lose sight of what made the show profitable in the first place. You know. And then they're like, no, the show is profitable. Keep it going. And then you're done. Then you're no longer profitable.
The most recent example is Under the Dome.
Oh, dude, it was supposed to be a summer miniseries. It's like
four
years.
Well, it was supposed to be two seasons.
That show pissed me off. They were getting out of the dome halfway through the thing.
Yeah, it was supposed to be two seasons, and now they canceled it.
Stupid show.
Because they're like, okay, well, we're going to, you know,
hate that
add
show.
Two more seasons and then it tanked and you know so
okay. Oh, but what TV are we liking right now?
Gotham is amazing.
I've been hearing mixed things about.
If you'd have told me 2 years ago that, hey, man, your favorite superhero TV show is going to be a Batman show that doesn't have Batman in it, I would have kicked you in your ass. It's so good.
Not
it's
to toot
so
my own
fun.
Horn, but I'd take that fight.
No, I don't mean kick you in your ass. I just you know. Proverbial ass.
Yeah, yeah.
The first episode of Flash was a little disappointing.
As thin and aerodynamic as it is, he could get that little toothpick.
Okay, actually, yeah. I mean, I guess it would be like him jabbing me with an ice pick.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be like hitting you with a whip.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was a lot of Inhumans.
I'm liking it.
I'm not liking it, but it was a lot of Inhumans. I like to see.
I did. And you know, yesterday's episode with the Lincoln character, it's like,
yeah,
dude, just take the less evil option at this point. What the fuck are you doing?
I have no idea. And you know, I have a thing about hair. I'm not sure I like Daisy's new haircut.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
But I'm getting over it.
Substantive to complain about.
I don't. I do. I do. Little nitpick. That's why I geek out on that little thing.
Whatever.
Well, what other superhero stuff is
not
on?
Not directly superhero related, but
Heroes. Anyone watching Heroes?
No.
It's okay. It's not terrible.
I want to go back and rewatch it so I can watch it with Amanda. Yeah,
it's not terrible.
Heroes was canceled for a reason.
It got bad, but you. If you
I was not excited for the relaunch. I haven't watched
the first
yet.
Parts of Heroes were amazing. The beginning, Save the Cheerleader,
well,
Save
yeah.
the World was great.
The first two seasons were really good TV.
And then the writer's strike.
Also, they wrote themselves into a corner and created this omnipotent character.
Yeah, who's unkillable.
Okay, they gave,
like, wait a minute, we need
to
kill that guy.
They did have several characters. One of them was like, yeah, he has every power.
Well, Zachary Quinto got too popular, and they're like, well, let's make Siler a good guy now. And it didn't work!
Okay, and then they gave one of the characters, one of the main characters, time travel, which you do not want to do.
No, it blows... Read any X-Men from the 90s. It destroys everything.
What problem is he not going to solve?
Exactly.
Okay, so over there, you can't
even if
see
he's
it,
not going
Mark
back
is making
things.
A face. He wants to comment
on the 90s X-Men.
About
Come on.
X-Men time travel stories.
Can't say anything nice.
Well, his least favorite, most hated X-Men character is Cable, and that's his whole shtick, is he time travels. So, yeah of course.
Wait, your least favorite is Cable?
I'm pretty sure his most hated character is Cable.
Oh, most hated.
Yeah, most hated.
I thought you were saying least hated.
The least favorite.
Oh,
I don't
like
the word hate. So I said
least Cable sucks,
favorite.
But,
yeah, I like Cable and Deadpool.
Cable's been done well, but like he does represent the worst aspect of 90s comics.
Oh, definitely. Way too many pouches. A lot of weird yellow for no reason.
The
lines.
Absurd, over-designed look.
Yeah, he's got like weird metal in part of him for no reason at all, and then he had to make something up later.
He reeks of like some sort of like focus group of 40-year-old men trying to come up with what they think kids think are
he's
cool. These
white-haired, but not really old.
His eye glows.
Yeah, his eye is weird. Yeah,
he's absurdly overpowered, and that's we haven't even gotten to the guns.
Yeah, right. He's a mutant who has, like, these powers where he can spray energy, but he uses guns.
He's Professor X with commando training who has, like, a robot arm and like, enough firepower to destroy a small country.
And he's Scott and Jean's kid.
That, too.
Oh, he's so weird. He's the worst X-Man ever. You're right, Mark. Cable's the worst X-Man ever.
It's not just X-Men. It's Star Trek. It's Flash.
With the time travel.
With the time travel stories. They're often used way too often.
Yeah.
There are some good ones
Flash
out there.
Flash used time travel in the first season.
One of the best episodes of the original Star Trek was City on the Edge of Forever, and that was time travel. But and that was handled pretty well.
When it's used right. Well, that last episode of TNG was also amazing, and that had three different time travels.
And the first instance, the Days of Future Past in the original X-Men run, is a fantastic story.
Like Death, how it's overdone. Death was good the first time they killed Jean Grey. It was great.
Yeah,
and then they did it again and again, and it got
then
shittier.
It just becomes
shittier.
A really tired joke.
Yeah,
and over again. And by the time Cable emerges, time travel in the X-Men is a really
you're
tired
rolling
joke.
Your eyes. So yeah, you're eating your eyeballs. Just, you're rolling so hard.
Oh, but
and also the pouches.
Yeah, dude.
But around,
with nothing in them.
Yeah.
The empty pouches.
But around the TV sphere, I'm liking Blindspot.
Ain't much.
That's the one with Jamie Alexander. She Jamie got the tattoos.
Alexander, yeah, wakes up. She's like
cool show.
It's like a Snipe Hunt type of thing where like they have like all these.
She's amnesiac. She doesn't remember, and she's got all these tattoos, and they're like clues. It's kind of like the Nolan movie Memento with a really hot girl.
I've only seen one episode of that. I fell asleep while I was watching it.
I watched. Well, you work really hard though.
Not really.
I watched the first episode. I was like, that's pretty good. It's got potential. I don't know if I watched the second episode or not. I'm going to.
It's far from the best thing I've ever seen, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. A lot better than Minority Report, which is crap.
I heard that it's already
bad. There's a lot of cool effects the futuristic effects, you know, that bring you into that. But well, it's no on follow Fox, through. Right? Yeah.
So they're going to keep that one, but they're going to axe Firefly and then also what was the really good one from last year? Too Human?
Oh, yeah, with the robot.
That was great.
And Carl Urban, right?
Yeah, that was a great show,
wasn't that
dude. Wasn't it Almost Human?
It was Almost Human. Too Human was that crappy
video. Yeah, Too Human was that shitty video game. My bad.
Oh, I don't remember the game. I remember that show.
Whatever, almost the thing human. With the android cop.
That was a good show. Yeah. And they took that off, yeah.
It was great.
Damn it.
Fucking Fox.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, that's about it. There's still a lot to come. Supergirl is big on my radar. So waiting
on
that.
I'll watch it.
What else on TV? I think that's it.
Can't think of anything else. Yeah. I guess if nothing else is jumping out at us.
Yeah, officially, the season Minority Report has been cut short.
Dead Show Walking.
Yeah, Blind Spot has been extended. And yeah, so it hasn't officially been canceled yet, but
she's such a good actress, man.
She's very good.
Yeah, there's some Thor Dark World news,
actually. So what that really says is...
I heard Hulk or Ragnarok, I'm sure you
know. Yeah, that is exactly what I meant.
Hulk was going to be in that movie.
Mark Ruffalo is apparently going to be in it.
From what I have heard, they have confirmed that the Valkyries will show up.
That could be cool.
So that's at least three different female
Apparently
warriors.
They're going to take it in a dark direction, also.
I heard it's the darkest set. The script is very dark. That's why I said the Dark World, I think, because
of course,
it's dark.
They've been teasing Daredevil Season 2 on Netflix.
Jessica Jones in a week or two, right?
Yeah. That looks pretty cool.
Ash vs. Evil Dead.
The next batch of Netflix.
It's
going to be good.
I think Elektra,
I'm going to bootleg it.
Elektra and Punisher are supposed to
show
up.
We do not condone stealing, but I'm going to bootleg that.
You're the worst.
I'll return it. I'll watch it, and then I'll just delete it.
You're the worst.
I'll donate some money to something.
But not the people who made the show.
No. I'll call...
He'll donate it in their name.
I just
had to... So they did the good thing.
I'll email Bruce Campbell. I'll email Bruce Campbell and get his permission.
I don't know if he has the rights to it.
It doesn't matter. He's the actor on it.
No, still, I mean...
Hey, if Bruce Campbell gives me permission to do something, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, true in most areas of life. You know, like, hey, you're not allowed in this area. Bruce Campbell said I was.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. Who else would they
that's
ever
not your
get
car.
To play
Bruce Ash? Campbell wants it to be.
It's the gym.
Yeah. But, yeah, TV has been a mixed bag this season. The first episode of Flash was very disappointing. I didn't watch last night's, but I probably will tomorrow. Jay Garrick showed up at the end,
course,
which I'm stoked for.
Cool beans.
But the first episode, you watched Flash, the first episode.
I've never watched Flash.
They got him over on his old man, you know.
I had never watched any of the Arrowverse stuff.
I tried to get through the first season of Arrow. I'm still not able to do it.
Well,
I want to.
I hear good things about it, but I think it's just I don't watch a lot of CW, so I'm really not aware of like when it actually comes on or anything. Which is a terrible excuse because I can easily look it up.
Yeah, it's like, but I just still watches TV like on time. You know, you can just set the DVR, you go to Hulu. This isn't the 80s, dude, where it's like, dude, we gotta get home in 5 minutes or we're gonna miss Knight Rider.
Okay, fine.
It'll be gone forever.
I just haven't been interested enough to sit down and watch it.
Right. Yeah, me too, man. There's just so much to watch. I have to, you know, cordon off my time. And what I need to do is quit my job and just watch TV all the time. Or stop watching Age of Ultron at work and start watching Hulu at work.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. That's
say,
like
the
best solution.
Theory, it got picked up for two more seasons. Oh, you know, they kind of had to like nerf the characters.
They revamped it a bit.
Well, and their characters' story progression, it seems like they tried to take them back.
Well, they're not really single guys anymore.
Yeah, is that even the show?
Like a couple comedy. Yeah.
Is that even the show where you care about like the overarching story? I mean, it's a little bit. Okay, I guess that. Okay, even on like, I guess Friends, they had overarching stories. I guess.
I've never watched The Big Bang Theory. I mean, when I watch, I think it's funny. I always felt like the jokes were kind of more condescending.
Well, okay, that's the thing. That's the reason that I feel like The Big Bang Theory is not the show for people like me, is they're laughing at me, not with me.
I feel that way, too. Yeah. I feel like they're making a joke out of what I love, my passion.
Haha, I suck. Yeah,
haha, you like comics, nerd.
Yeah, fuck me, right?
Screw you. Yeah, oh, yeah, screw me. It's only the best freaking movies in the universe right now are based on the shit I read. 20 years ago, jerks.
They made some really obscure comic jokes in there.
Yeah.
Certainly
there's stuff for me to chortle at, but the overarching tone of the show is, let's laugh at the nerds.
Or at least the original, like the first couple seasons, that's how it very much felt.
Right.
It might have changed now. I mean, it's been on for almost a decade.
Well, nerds have taken over the world. Yeah, everybody loves to hate the winners.
Yeah,
so.
It's going to be 10 seasons. Yeah. They're in season 9 now.
Good. So 11 if they got 2.
Well, no, they got last year it was season 8, and they got picked up for season 9 and 10.
Yeah.
But yeah, now one of, they did actually have a good line in it the other day, and I thought it was pretty funny. It was, Sheldon's character goes, you know that comic book, Archie versus Predator? You know what bugs me? How the heck could Archie beat Predator?
Yeah.
And of course, Leonard was like, "I don't know, Jughead's a Terminator." Yeah. I thought that was a pretty good line.
That's an okay book, though.
There was some sort of like magic trick where he got like hulked out somehow or something. I forget.
I think that's whatever. Yeah, whatever.
That's not a book to be taken seriously. Exactly. Just enjoy it. Don't take it too seriously.
Right. Well, you know, I just thought of it because you're talking about shows that kind of feel like they've outlived their.
I think Gomer and I both groaned when you announced that there's 2 more seasons of it because, it's kind of outlived itself.
And I haven't even watched it. I don't even care. It doesn't even bother me that it's on. You know, I have to see commercials for it every once in a while, so what? But it does. It feels condescending, and I don't like it, and that's not how nerds are. I know nerds. I know geeks. That's not them.
Yeah,
that is not them, man.
And they advertise to comic book nerds. They really do. I mean,
are you trying to talk me into watching Big Bang Theory?
No, I'm just saying. Because
I'm not
doing
it.
Larry's got a side job working for CBS.
There are the Diamond Bags that have Big Bang Theory ads. They've done backer boards for comics. And stuff like that. Yeah. They've done art where they're all dressed up as superheroes.
It almost feels like maybe the Big Bang Theory is sort of the bridge to the geek culture and the pop culture, where maybe you can appreciate me as a geek a little bit more because of them. But screw you. You should appreciate me anyway because my movies are making billions.
Because of that joke.
Well, in general, it's okay to be a nerd now. I mean,
okay, been okay for a while.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay,
Windows
kind of like
came out. It was cool.
It was kind of like you grow up all your life, like you know, like get ready to defend yourself as being a nerd or whatever.
Dude,
then it's just like everyone's just like, okay, everyone knows who Thor is now. Everyone went to see the Avengers.
I had a comic book ripped in front of my face in study hall by a bully when I was in elementary school.
This
and
is like
now.
In the 40s?
Yeah, it was in the 40s. I was reading Captain America number 1.
He could have kept that. And
he ripped
so
it.
Much
he
money.
Ripped it. But, yeah, dude.
And also, I sold a run of Archie versus Predator today.
It's a good book.
Because of that joke.
Oh, really?
Yeah, somebody here, I didn't know this existed. Yeah. I need this.
Okay. So, wonder I mean, Larry's got their back.
Did you also give him a copy of Archie versus Sharknado 2?
Yeah.
No.
Fuck, that's not a thing, is it?
Yes, it is.
Fuck everything.
Yes, that is a thing.
Oh, but they also bought a bunch of Dark Horse Predator back issues.
One
and stuff
last
like that.
Man, you know what?
Yeah.
Let's just take a minute to talk about. Man, Archie is fucking killing it.
It's a great year for comics as a whole.
Your stories in your comics are the source material for stuff that's making billions now. Validates your hobby entirely.
No, but it validates it in their eyes, in the popular culture. It should anyway, because everything else that makes money is validated in their eyes. These capitalist whores. Don't get me started, Mark.
Stop over being. throwing it in your face. And, I'm sorry, but just because it's making money.
I've been validated. I've felt validated my whole life.
I'm a superheroes fan.
Exactly.
Don't make no money.
Yeah, right. But anyway, one of the books I got last week was Jughead, because I'm like, hey, Jughead was my favorite character in this new Archie book.
It was pretty good. It was all right.
It was solid.
The art was great.
Same
a lot
artist
of good
who was doing Squirrel Girl right now, right?
Yeah. Chip Zdarsky's writing it.
Sex Criminals.
Pretty good.
Oh, yeah, so the writer for Howard the Duck and the artist for Squirrel Girl got together and made a Jughead book.
Yeah. And it's good. It works. It feels a little dated in some places, the dialogue, but I liked it.
That sounds better than if you say Howard the Duck and Squirrel Girl got together and did a Jughead.
They're doing a crossover. I'll be damned if I'm not interested in reading it.
One last little TV thing that doesn't... It's kind of comic book related.
Only if it ends with the dog from Ms. Marvel chasing them down.
But Modern Family, they went to the young daughter's dorm room, and she had a Ms. Marvel poster hanging on the wall.
Oh, awesome.
Very cool cross promotion.
Kamala Khan.
Cool. ABC is owned by Disney, which also owns Marvel, so it's a really good cross promotion.
Corporate synergy.
Fun corporate synergy.
That's the other big thing. Big Bang Theory stopped making Marvel jokes because and Star Wars jokes.
Because they're owned by ABC.
They're owned by CBS, which is
Paramount.
There's
an affiliate,
Well, yeah, Marvel is in the ABC camp by virtue of them all being owned by ABC.
Exactly.
So they've also started making
They can't use Star Wars? That's such a huge thing.
They can use Star Trek, though.
They can use Star Trek a lot, and they already do.
By Paramount, so I don't watch it.
Have y'all checked out the Paramount Vault YouTube channel?
I have.
Oh, yeah, they released like 100 videos.
There's one good movie on there, Masters of the Universe. Everything else is shit I've never heard of.
But that's on Netflix. I can watch that anyway.
Exactly.
Well,
maybe
there's
probably some gems in there.
That's
hidden gems that I've never heard of.
Well,
very
there's
possible.
A lot of classics.
Classics.
Yeah.
That's another word for old crap.
Tell us a few, Larry.
This doesn't matter. The fact is they're going, hey,
here's free shit. Take it.
Here's shit we couldn't sell.
That's the point.
Here's shit we couldn't
sell. Here's stuff we couldn't sell.
But this is a start.
Maybe this is getting the ball rolling.
Of course it's a start.
Maybe they're going to add more. You don't know. This is a good thing.
No, what they're going to do is bright-sided and dark-sided. And I can agree with both.
That being said, I can probably go on YouTube right now and probably could have a month ago and watched Casablanca.
Or He-Man and the Masters of the Universe with Dolph freaking Lundgren.
And that's the other thing. A lot of these things you could have gone on there and watched as it was.
Yeah.
Now they're giving you high quality versions.
Oh, that's true.
You know?
That's
good. I have high quality version of Dolph
Masters of the Universe. One of the friends is in there too. Courtney Cox or somebody.
It was her first movie.
I watched it the other day actually at work. I hope nobody at work listens to the podcast, because I'm fired.
Yeah, a lot of work at work.
I told them I wouldn't read comics at work, so... Because I got busted doing an hour.
They should have, that's comics. Their fault for not calling you out for being too specific. What you weren't going to do.
Exactly. Well, I'm the IT guy. Do you have a quick IT story? My nephew goes to a school here in Middle Tennessee, and they give him Chromebooks. He got suspended for one day for hacking his Chromebook and shutting everyone else out of the intranet at the school. He had control over the thermostats, the lights, the grades, the databases, the time sheets for the teachers, all of these things.
Wow.
He went right to the principal and said, hey, this is what I did. It took the principal 2 days to actually figure out what he was talking about, because he's kind of socially, he's autistic, or not autistic, well, maybe autistic, but he's got like Asperger's. So he's very good, crafty at computer stuff, but he can't have a conversation like with you.
Okay.
So, yeah. So they figure it out, and they get him in there, and they're like, well, we have to give you one day, but really we should be giving you a prize because you found an exploit in our system. If somebody wanted to, they could have shut us completely down.
I mean, I guess this is a relatively harmless way for
this
that
would
to
be
come
considered
out.
Yeah. White hack hacking.
Well, he went and told him. He was scared. Once he did it, he was like, oh, no.
To do that.
Exactly, man. Well, but that was a real – he's like my hero now. You know, remember War Games when he hacked in?
That's what I was thinking.
Him and Ali Sheedy, Matthew Broderick and Alex Sheedy are getting, good grades in science class because he's hacking into the computer.
Well, there's some classic black and white sci-fi.
So did your nephew teach Skynet to play tic-tac-toe.
He did, yep. He taught Skynet how to play tic-tac-toe. And him and Arnold Schwarzenegger are now best buds. They're time traveling.
Well, now we're mixing the other Terminator and Mario games.
They're time traveling to meet his wife in 20 years from now. So that'll be fun. In a DeLorean. Well, I'll just throw Back to the Future in there again. Arnold Schwarzenegger, my nephew, and a DeLorean.
All walk into a bar.
Sounds like a crossover.
A weird crossover.
All right. So I guess that sounds like we're winding down.
We are winding down, definitely wrapping up. But I heard a joke the other day that was like,
don't talk about that.
Twilight Children. This is Mark's geek pick of the week.
It's a Vertigo book. We talked about how awesome Vertigo is. Yeah.
You know, Love and Rockets.
Yes.
Darwin Cook. Yeah.
Darwin Cook.
Yeah.
So really cool book. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody cares.
They're asking a lot for it.
This is the first I've heard of it, I have to confess.
That's the best $4.99 you could spend
today.
That's
a $5 independent.
What's the premise?
I'm not real sure yet, which makes it even higher on my list.
What happened in issue one here?
I don't think he's read it. Have you read it?
Yeah, I've read it.
He's just pimping this book in.
A small Tijuana-type coastal town. Really interesting characters going on.
Yeah.
Mysterious glowing balls that wash up on shore and appear in town.
So a sci-fi sort of...
Someone actually touched one, a storm comes up, explodes, and now several of the children, one of the children that touched it, all of them are blinded, but their eyes glow like the balls did.
Weird.
Kind of
like
dome-ish.
A mystery sort of... Yeah. Okay. But worth it just for that Darwin Cook art, man.
Yeah. The Darwin Cook art alone is probably makes it worthwhile. I mean, I'm a Darwin Cook like most people is with Jim Lee.
So there you go.
Get that book.
Keep DC's lights on. Yes. Go get the Vertigo book.
It's expensive in California.
Yeah. That's why our books are $5 now.
Motherfucker's got to pay that California rent.
You paid $6 for that crap Spider-Man last week.
I did not. Pay $6 for that crap Spider-Man.
You should do penance to the comics box and buy that $5 for this book this week.
Spider-Man was overpriced.
For 8 pages of ads at the end.
Yeah. It fucks with a basic Spider-Man tenet.
Yeah.
Hard Luck Parker should not be Tony Stark.
I agree.
Okay for the character
didn't they
to
try
grow.
Try that before.
He's not going
to
grow. By issue 12, every one of Parker Industries all over the world is going to go up in a giant purple green ball of goblin flame.
Boom.
They're giving it to him just to take it away in the next big goblin epic. It's bullshit.
That's Peter Parker's deal, though. They always give him something just to take it away.
It's really, really lazy writing.
We just already mentioned that. That slot was a lazy writer.
Superior Spider-Man wasn't.
I loved Tom Taylor on that. He's going to be doing another Marvel book soon. I don't remember what, but I'm going to read it.
Okay.
And I'm going to like it, probably.
All right, so let's wrap it up.
Final thoughts.
Tom Taylor's going to be writing the new Green Lantern Corps book.
Oh, that'll be good. That'll be good.
Cool.
Let's do final thoughts.
And Colin Bunn.
Taylor.
Hark of Vagrant had a second volume come out last week.
Okay.
That's something that's really right up my alley. It's she's a historian who does web comics about historical figures and literary characters, and it's really funny.
Awesome.
So if you're in the mood for something a little bit offbeat, that's pretty entertaining, light read, no real melodrama about it, that's worth picking up.
You need to Facebook message me that web address. Yeah. I would love to check that out.
The writer and artist is Kate Beaton.
Okay.
Canadian historian who does...
Those are two of my favorite things. Canadians and historians. Literally.
Yeah,
Adam, final thought.
You like History of Snow?
Shut up, Larry.
And maple syrup.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, and hockey.
And hockey.
Oh, and how can we forget hockey?
And the letter A.
A.
You know what?
Yeah, dude.
Don't listen to him, Canada. We're cool.
We love you, Canada. You're like America's hat.
Don't let Larry get you down.
Like,
united we stand.
What up, Adam?
I don't even know.
The title of the thing was Step Aside Pops. I probably should have mentioned that.
The title of her
Amanda
of her
picked
her,
that up.
Her thing is...
she really liked it.
Oh, good.
The webcomic is Hark of Vagrant, but this volume was Step Aside Pops. And it was like a picture of like a kid on like an old timey bicycle, like staring menacingly.
Oh, cool.
It's definitely one of those little more oddball out of the way books.
It defies description in a lot of ways.
I like books like that too. Cool.
Yeah, it's good. Okay, anyway, sorry.
He interrupted your lack of a final thought. Buying you extra time.
Think of something, Adam.
Fuck Jules for not being
I know,
here.
Dude. He said he has family problems, fucking and I Jules. Definitely relate, and I feel terrible, but man, I miss that dude in all aspects. Especially the... Anyway.
You know, this is a podcast. You have to say...
It's the after dark. Just imagine what I did.
Yeah, I'm not going to be back next week, and now I'm glad.
I have a very cool announcement. Yeah. OutrightGeeker.com is going to be having an interview with writer-artist Otis Frampton on Friday. It's part of a big thing he's got going on. He's the writer-artist of a book called Oddly Normal, also a book called ABCDEF Geek. He also is the main artist on, I think it's How It Should Have Ended, some YouTube channel.
Okay. Yeah, How It Should Have Ended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, that was... It started out as a show on Showtime or
Spike, maybe.
Stars.
Yeah, it was Stars.
Lifetime.
The first one I remember was when they did a Spider-Man 3 back when the Tobey Maguire.
They also did they did the In 30 Seconds series, Bunny, where they retold a movie in 30 seconds with bunnies.
I saw that. That was a thing on Netflix or on demand or something for a
while. Well, it started out on a cable channel.
Oh, okay.
The most hilarious one to me was Texas Chainsaw Massacre with bunnies.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, like, the remake starts out so graphic. Yeah.
David, the man of a million voices, will have that up Friday. He had got a chance to sit down and talk with Otis Frampton, so that's good. And if you have a chance, go pick up his book, Oddly Normal. I think the trade is out on Image Comics. Check it out. It's awesome. And go to OutrightGeeker.com for that interview Friday.
All right. As always, you can check
You don't have
us
a final
out.
Thought?
Larry doesn't think.
Yeah, I don't want to interrupt you, but you don't have a final thought? I did actually mean to interrupt you. Sorry.
Yeah, I was about to say. You don't
That's
want
exactly
to
what
me?
You did,
This
man.
Is, yeah.
So you don't have a final thought? I'll get my voice even higher. You don't have a final thought?
Stop forcing it, Gomer.
Yeah, that's kind of...
It's okay.
That joke doesn't even work on Family Guy, and they have professional comedians.
Yeah. Technically, I'm a professional comedian.
No.
I make jokes at work, and
you
they pay
are
me.
A professional Age of Ultron watcher.
Yeah, right?
Yes. And,
don't be spreading that
where do you work?
You said it yourself.
Gomer,
what damage can I do at this point? We need to
alright. But okay, we're gonna wrap for Larry here.
Well, anyway,
oh yeah,
like
just
I was
wrap.
Trying
Larry.
To say
he
would have
been
is,
done by now, not for you, Gomer.
Yes. As always, you can check us out here in Madison, Tennessee,
son of Maddie,
or at Comic City 2, or online at ComicCity2.com, or Facebook.com/ComicCity2, or OutrightGeekery.com, or apparently on the Outright Geekery Reddit.
Yeah, we're at our Outright Geekery.
Somehow.
All right. So, see you next time. Same bat channel, same bat station.
What? That's not how it goes.
Yeah, no, same bat time, same bat channel. Yes, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, I was really young when that came out.
Get out.
Oh, wow. All right, I gotta go. I'm so